I read you last week about the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of the ashes, the heifer. These referring to the sacrifices that we've been studying. And there's one more of the sacrifices that Hebrews deals with. And we haven't touched on it yet, and I'll be able just to touch on it tonight. And that is the fifth sacrifice, which is the sacrifice of the trespass offering. And so in chapter 5, look at verse 14. I told you some weeks back how I knew that 5:14 is where the trespass offering ends. In the other chapters, you have chapter 1, the burnt, chapter 2, the meal, chapter 3, the peace, chapter 4, the sin. And so when you come to chapter 5, verse 1, you have the trespass offering. But you can tell that it isn't, and the Lord gives us the key, told you by looking at the words in verse 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, he's introducing another sacrifice. I shan't take time to explain more now, but just take that as the key. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if one commits trespass and sin unwittingly, unknowingly, in the holy things of the Lord, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock, according to thy estimation, silver by shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And he shall make restitution for that which he hath done amiss in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give unto the priest, and the priest make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and he shall be forgiven. And if anyone sin and do any of the things which the Lord hath commanded not to be done, though he knew it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, according to thy estimation, for a trespass offering, unto the priest. And the priest shall make atonement for him concerning the thing wherein he erred unwittingly, and knew it not, and he shall be forgiven. It is a trespass offering. He is certainly guilty before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if anyone sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and deal falsely with his neighbor, in a matter of deposit, or of a bargain, or of robbery, or have oppressed his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and deal falsely therein, and swear to a lie. In any of all these things that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, if he hath sinned, and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took by robbery, or the thing which he hath gotten by oppression, or the deposit which was committed to him, or the lost thing which he found, or anything about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in full, and shall add the fifth part more thereto. Unto him to whom appertaineth it shall it be given, in the day of his being found guilty. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock, according to thy estimation, for a trespass offering, unto the priest. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall be forgiven concerning whatsoever he doeth, so as to be guilty thereby. This is the trespass offering, and as day follows night, turn over to chapter 7, verse 1. You have the offerings, and then you have the regulations concerning the offering called the law of the burnt offering, the law of the meal offering, and so forth. Now this, in chapter 7, verse 1, is the ritual, the regulation concerning the trespass offering. Verse 1. And this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall be sprinkled upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the fat tail, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the loins, and the caul upon the liver, with the kidneys shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar, for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. As is the sin offering, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith, he shall have it. And so forth, and so forth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for this book of instruction which thou hast given us. We pray that just as a soldier has his book of regulation, and just as an architect his, and as a mathematician the laws by which he figures out the problem set before him, so we shall understand that this book is your word to us, governing, controlling, teaching us as to the life that we are to live on earth, telling us of the promises of the life to come. We are thankful for it. Our hearts are thrilled in it. Thou dost know, Father, that it is a part and parcel of our lives. We pray that we shall live and move and breathe in it as we live and move and breathe in thee. And again, we have read a portion that could be difficult, but if thou dost explain it to us and spur our minds to understanding, then it shall not be difficult. And so bless us to this end, for cleansing and empowering and understanding. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I have seen the wisdom of giving consecutive meetings, not night after night. Sometimes that wears down the people, but the regular meetings. And the reason is that you are able to go through books or cycles of subjects. And for that reason, I've been able to go through these in the 2 months. And because of that, there has been brought to your attention perhaps some studies that you may never hear again, because these are difficult studies, to say the least. And if it's difficult for you to understand them, it's difficult for me to even tell you the things that are difficult for you to understand. It takes many, many hours. But it is worthwhile for this reason. God builds line upon line, precept upon precept, in a good sense. And we've learned little by little how all of these sacrifices are but an extension of the one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus at the cross of Calvary. We see sacrifice after sacrifice, how great our need is. And what I delighted to do was this. As I went through the sacrifices, to be able to tell you, no matter how great your need is, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet that need. But I had to wait until tonight to tell you this. No matter how great your need, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet that need and more besides. You have to wait till you get to the 5th sacrifice for that. In the others, the sacrifices are simply sufficient to meet the existing need. But finally, when you come to the trespass offering, it is unique in this sense. It not only meets the need, but it adds a 5th. there too. The only sacrifice that has anything of this nature about it. And I read to you about the law of the trespass offering, its similarity to the sin offering. There is one law for these two offerings, and they are similar. And as I told you in weeks past, the three offerings that I told you about, the offering of the sin offering in Leviticus chapter 4, and then the ashes of the red heifer in Numbers 19, and the heifer that is offered in Deuteronomy chapter 21, they are all the sin offering in its extension. The strongest is in Leviticus 4, and then a little less discernible in Numbers 19, still less discernible in Deuteronomy chapter 21. But when you look at it carefully, you say, this is the sin offering, this is still the sin offering. And again, when you come to the trespass offering, you see its similarity in the ritual to the sin offering. But it is distinct, and it governs a certain kind of sin that man is prone to commit, and God has a sacrifice that is sufficient to meet that sin as well as all the other sins that men commit. Now this, I wish I could pigeonhole each sacrifice and tell you the burnt offering only does this. The peace offering only does this. But you read of some of the things of the burnt offering, and they overlap with some of the things of the sin offering. For instance, the burnt offering, the prominent thought is not acceptance and atonement, but it says concerning the burnt offering, it shall be accepted for him. There is acceptance in that burnt offering. But when you come to the sin offering, its primary function is the removal of guilt and sin. It is the atonement offering. That is its prominence. The other offerings, also the burnt offering, a man can be accepted for it. But the sacrifice that is particularly for the taking away of sin is the sin offering. Now, when you come to an extension of that sin offering, the ashes of the heifer, it is a sin, but it is a sin of defilement. Still, you need the sin offering, which is reduced to ashes and mixed with living water and sprinkled upon the man. That is an extension of the power of the sin offering. And now, we have the trespass offering, and it is ever so near to this sin offering, and yet it is distinct. And its distinction is that it not only takes care of the sin at hand, but it makes restitution, full restitution, and it adds the fifth part thereto. And so if you commit a sin like that of the high priest, you have to offer a sin offering. But if you commit a sin by being in a tent when a man dies or touch a bone of a dead body, then you have to have the sin offering, the ashes of the heifer, sprinkled upon you. But now, God is specifying what particular sins are dealt with when we come to the trespass offering, and they are these. First of all, they fall into two categories. The sins against God and the sins against man. The commandments are 10. The Godward commandments and the manward commandments. And so here, the sin for which the trespass offering is to be offered is this. It is withholding from God what is rightfully his. And pertaining to man, it is twofold. It is withholding from man what is rightfully his, and it is taking from man what is not rightfully mine. You'll see this in a moment. And other things that I will tell you about, and you will have to pursue it, because there is a marvel of harmony and complementariness of the Word of God. And as I told you, every major doctrine in the New Testament is illustrated in the Old Testament. And so you trace this out and prove me wrong if you're able. That every sacrifice, the burnt, the meal, the peace, and so forth, Now, the trespass offering, every one has a corresponding psalm to go with it, and has a corresponding prophecy to go with it. And I will tell you the psalm, and I will tell you the prophecy. In Psalm 69, it says this. It says, "That which I took not away, I was required to restore." That should be the key. Here is a man that is innocent in Psalm 69, and that is a messianic psalm. It has reference after reference mentioned in the New Testament. "The zeal of my house shall eat me up, and they gave me gall," and so forth. They are direct references to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Psalm 69, he says, "I did not take anything away, but they compelled me to restore that which I took not away." And so the trespass psalm that is in harmony with the trespass offering is Psalm 69. And you cannot tell this from the King James Version, but I had to check it out in the original, and it's thrilling what happens when you look at it in the Greek and in the Hebrew. Those things that are obscure, when you're reading it in your English Bible, they become so evident. And the portion that you read in Isaiah 53, that is the prophetical portion. It says this, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin," it actually says, "when thou shalt make his soul a trespass offering." The very word in the original. And so God gives us the psalm that has to do with this trespass offering, and he gives us the prophecy that has to do with it. And so when the Lord Jesus speaks about it, it says, "He made his soul a trespass offering." In the New Testament, "him who knew no sin, God made to be sin for us." And so he is the sin offering, but at the same time, he is the trespass offering. And inasmuch as he is the trespass offering, this offering restores what he took not away, and it adds the fifth part as well. And so when you look at all of these offerings, you see that Christ not only meets our need, but now I can finally say Christ in his death upon the cross and his resurrection more than meets all our needs. And that is glorious. Because we finally understand by this sacrifice that God not only gives us again what we lost in Adam, but he gives us the fifth part as well. And it is only suggested because a fifth is the tenth doubled, the doubled tenth. But when Sheba, the queen of Sheba, says, "The half hath not been told," why, a fraction of the fullness of the person of Christ has not been told. And yet God tells us it this way, "The half hath not been told." When it says concerning the Hebrew children, they were 10 times fatter than the other children. There are ways that God has of expressing it. And if it says the half or 10 times or the fifth, there is a spiritual significance behind it. But the important thing to grasp here is that not only everything that was lost is restored again, but more is added as well. And God has a psalm, it is so important, and he has a prophecy, it is so important, telling us concerning the person of Christ, because this offering is the person of Christ, and the Lord Jesus has done all things well. Now, this will interest you. I'm glad that it dawned upon this brother, because quite often you brethren speak to me afterwards, and it occurred to him that when I was telling about these sacrifices, I kept involving the Lord Jesus Christ in sin. And he said to me, he said, "I don't see why you have to involve the Lord Jesus Christ with all our sin." Now that's so fine, because it got across to him that every time I mention the sacrifice, I mention the Lord Jesus Christ and sin. And he said, "Why do you have to involve the Lord Jesus Christ in every sin that we commit?" Because apart from the Lord Jesus being involved with every sin we commit, there is no salvation and there is no restoration. That's the glory of it. That is why I've been telling you that every time sin is put before our eyes, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that is why every time you have man sinning, God brings in the pertinent sacrifice. That is why. And it is so good that he saw that. Then it finally got across that I keep associating Christ with sin. Why? Because he has to be associated with sin. The one who knew no sin, who did no sin, who was separate from sinners, this is the one that had to be made sin, that all of the blessings that God sets forth in his word might be brought before it. And so here is the trespass offering, which does something that none of the other offerings do. And I want to tell you this, that you and I, perhaps, are guilty, and we need to offer this trespass offering for this reason. These sins that are spoken of are sins of omission. They are withholding from God what is rightfully his, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt by saying that some of these things are done unwittingly. Now, some things are not done unwittingly. I can show you that in a moment. If you give me $20 to keep, and I put it into my pocket, and then you come back and say, now, let me have that $20 I gave you to keep for him, and I say, what $20? Now, it's possible that I could have forgotten about it, but I don't think that I would, and so that's not sinning unwittingly. We'll see about that later. But there are some things in the holy things, notice that. First of all, it says, if we sin in the holy things, that is, the things pertaining to God, because there are certain demands that God has upon us, like these. For instance, if I'm a farmer, and my donkey, my ass, has its firstling, then I have to do one of two things. I either have to sacrifice a lamb and redeem it, or else I have to break that donkey's neck. The firstling of an ass. Remember that. But suppose I am like Job, and I have a multitude of animals, and this animal brings forth a young, and I forget that it is its firstborn, and I do not redeem that ass, and I do not break its neck, and I go on about my business, and someone comes and says, why, this is the firstborn of that ass. And I say, oh dear, I have not redeemed that ass, I have not broken its neck, then I have sinned in the holy things of God. And because of that, because of something that I should have done that I have not done, I have sinned. I did it unwittingly. I did not know. And at the same time, I'm required to give a tenth unto God. And if I do not give a tenth, I'm applying this to the Old Testament, please understand. If I do not give that tenth to God, I say, oh dear, I sold the cattle and the money came to me, and I've not given a tenth of it to God. I've sinned against God. And so when I withheld from God that which is rightfully his, then I've sinned in the area of holy things, and the only offering that shall take care of it is the trespass offering. I am guilty. Even though I do not know about it, I'm guilty all along, but in the day that I discover my guilt, then I am immediately to do something about it. And so think of you in this area. Think of the worship that you should give God as these Jews should give God. But if they go and serve other gods, they're withholding from God the worship that is rightfully his. Suppose they are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but instead of keeping the Sabbath, instead of letting the land have its Sabbath, they work on the Sabbath, they are withholding time that belongs to God. And they are sinning in the area of holy things. And when they do that, to take care of that sin, they have to offer a trespass offering. Now, I'm thinking of you, and I'm thinking of the money that is rightfully God's that perhaps you are holding back. And God asked this question, will a man rob God? You say, but there's nowhere in the Bible that it says, I am to give a tenth to God. But it does say that. If I ask you this, under the Aaronic priesthood, how much did they give? You say, the tenth. Well, who is our great high priest? You say, Melchizedek. Well, under the Melchizedek priesthood, How much did Abraham give Melchizedek? You say, a tenth. Well then, the pattern is the same. A tenth goes to Aaron, but the Melchizedek is like the Aaronic, and the tenth went to Melchizedek as well. God doesn't force it, but he tells us that in Hebrews chapter 7. And Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth. And not only so, it says in Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver. And there are some Christians who enjoy assemblies because we never take up collections. They delight in that. And not only that, we don't put the pressure on them. We don't dun them. And I heard that there was one Jewish synagogue that was actually taking some of its members to court because they wouldn't give what they had pledged. And so they love the assemblies because they don't mention money. But do you understand this? That though God does not emphasize it, God says if you do not give it, you are withholding what is rightfully his. And there are some, and this is what grieves me, that seldom if ever come to the remembrance meeting. And the Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. They are withholding from the Lord Jesus the remembrance that is rightfully his. And yet they would say, I haven't sinned against God, but you have, and I'm telling you now. You may not have known it. You may have done it unwittingly, but the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And so it's not a matter, well, some come to meeting and some don't, and I may go to this meeting or I go to that. God says you are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so I'm applying it to you. You have withheld financially the money that is rightfully God's. You have withheld the time that is rightfully God's. And you have withheld the worship. You are responsible, and I'm applying it to us, to bring your little basket full and to offer unto God spiritual things that he's given you throughout the week. And yet some of you say, well, that is not my responsibility. But it is. You are guilty and you haven't known it. You have sinned unwittingly, but now you sin wittingly, knowingly, because I told you. And so you may shrug it off and say, well, I don't have to give to God. I don't believe it's demanded. I don't have to come to all the meetings. But the Lord has told us in the New Testament that our high priest is Melchizedek, and God has told us about loving a cheerful giver. And I promise you this, there has never been a spiritual Christian that has not been generous with his temporal resources. Now, I usually keep my mouth shut, but when it comes to portions like this, I'll tell you. And there was one time I got so bold as this. I knew this man had an abundance of money, and I had thought that he had been one who withheld. And so we were in a distant city, and he was sitting next to me. And as the offering plate went by, I put in my offering to God, and he took it and passed it on. And so later on in the day, we were alone, and I said, did you put any money in the offering plate when it went by? And he said, no. I said, why? And he was speechless for this reason. I said, this was a small meeting. I said, they had expenses. They needed it, and you had money. I said, you've sinned against God. Because I suspected it all along, and I knew that he had money because I saw the way that he was spending it around. But when the opportunity to give back unto God came by, he withheld. Why? Well, nobody insists upon it, you see. It doesn't demand the tenth in the New Testament. And the Bible doesn't demand that I come to the meeting. Well, what does it mean when it says, this do in remembrance of me? What does it mean when it says in Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is? What does that mean? And so God is saying, you are withholding from me. And so if that is so, you be thankful that there is Christ, the trespass offering. And if that is so, if I were going to carry it out, I should have said, now how much money were you supposed to put in today? How much should you have given God? Well, so much money. Well, then put that in and add a fifth part there too. I didn't take it that far. But this is what would happen if a man had withheld a tithe or any animal that rightfully belonged to God. He had to restore it to the full, to God, and he had to add the fifth part there too. Now, in chapter 6, I'll have to come to this. When it came to the matter in these areas, in chapter 6 of Leviticus, it says, verse 2, if anyone sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, as David said, against thee only have I sinned, and then that which is unrighteous in thy sight, but still he had sinned against Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba as well. He sins against the Lord, but it says, and deal falsely with his neighbor. Sin is twofold, upward and downward. in a matter of deposit. Like I told you, keep this $20 for me. And I come back and you say, what $20? Or it says this, a bargain or a pledge. Now, a bargain, I had to laugh about that because there are so many people. If we're going to take it a bargain, as it's translated here, or a pledge, you say, let me tell you about this automobile I'm selling you, or let me tell you about this garment I'm selling you. And you put it on, and it's supposed to be pre-shrunk, and it rains, and you can hardly walk around in the garment. Well, you're guilty. You see, it was a bargain, but it wasn't a bargain. Look at this horse that I'm selling you. And then you take the horse home, and you find out that it's old, and it's sick, and so it's not a bargain at all. Or robbery, or have oppressed his neighbor. You put pressure upon him to get something out of him. Or you found that which was lost. You see, your neighbor's cow wandered over into your yard, and so you have it in your barn, milking it every day, getting all the milk and all the cream, and he comes and says, have you seen my cow? Nope, no stray animals in this vicinity. That's what you say. Well, when you do that, then, when you are discovered, it says the offering that you have to offer is a trespass offering. And you're guilty, and you have to restore in any of these areas. It doesn't make any difference. And we're going to make it $100. And so if this is so, and you say no, but it found out that I did give you $100 to keep, you have to add the fifth part. You have to give me my $100 back plus 20 extra dollars. And so I wish that you would sin against me that way. It would be a great increase. But now, how many people do you think would sin if they knew they had to make restitution? And God demands restitution. But people today say, well, let me just confess the sin. Yes, I kept you $100, and now, brother, I want you to forgive me. But I want to put my hand in your pocket and get my $100 back. And God says, yes. It's going to be given back to you, and not only that, but the fifth part is to be added as well. God has no such laws as they have today. I told you, or maybe I did not, but I'll tell you about this man in Goldsboro that stole thousands and thousands of dollars from the city, and finally he got the local minister to get up on the stand and testify in his behalf. It said, please don't take the house that he bought with the money he stole away. That's all that he has. Can you imagine such a thing? Take the house away, and if the house costs $50,000, fine him $10,000 as well. That's what God says. What kind of reasoning is this? The poor man only has this home now, you see. He only could steal enough to buy this home, and so don't take the home away from him that he stole. That is man's reasoning, but it isn't God's reasoning. Take the home away from him and fine him $10,000 as well. And so this is what God says, and I shan't apply any of the other things. But it has to be dealt with, and there is a particular offering. Let me tell you this. Keep it in mind. There are so many details, and I marvel as I see them. Concerning the sin offering, there could be a variety of animals. But concerning the sin offering, I did not instruct you exactly correctly. I told you that there could be the female in the sin offering, and that's correct. But it had to be a female of the sheep or the goat. You do not find a sin offering in Leviticus 4 of a female cow, of the cattle. But you find it of the goat, or you also find of the other animals, but not of the cow. I can't go into that now. I just wanted to correct that minor thought that is there. You have it, yes, in the sin offering by extension, in the ashes of the heifer, and in the heifer that's taken down into the rough valley. You have the female cow there, but not exactly as it's found in Leviticus 4. And here, the primary offering that is offered is a ram of the trespass offering. But you'll find elsewhere, you have to look in different passages, you can find also, it doesn't have to be a ram, it can also be a lamb. And so be careful when you say it has to be this. But this is the primary offering, the ram of the trespass offering, and then you add the fifth thereof. And what does it do? It pictures the Lord Jesus Christ restoring that which he took not away. And so notice, if there is an animal that was taken, the animal is given back, restoration. If money were taken, the money is given back, but more as well. And so, in the matter of what I lost in Adam, when the Lord Jesus Christ, my trespass offering, comes upon the scene, all that I lost in Adam is restored plus more. If you ask me, am I going to have paradise given to me back again? Why, of course, it's going to be restored, but more. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus is not only He who restores paradise, because the earth is going to have a paradise again for 1,000 years, but I have heaven as well. That's something that Adam never had. He was God's earthly man. He was to have dominion over the earth, but now I have dominion over the earth, and I'm also seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm with Him in heaven. And so the Lord Jesus, yes, everything that Adam lost, everything that was taken from me by the sin of Adam, yes, that is going to be restored. Nothing is going to be missing. Whether it be material, whether it be animal, whether it be injury, it makes no difference. All that was lost, notice, the body, Adam caused my body to wrinkle and shrivel and die, and I'm going to get eternal life, and I'm going to get a glorious body like unto the Lord's body. He took earth away from me, and thorn and thistle came forth, and during the millennium, they're going to be taken away. A curse upon the earth, death and violence, those things are going to be taken away, and He's going to restore paradise. But more than that, I have eternal life, and the Lord Jesus is the trespass sacrifice, and this is what God wants us to know about it. Just this variation. In the other offering, when you come to the sin offering, only the sin offering ever had the blood applied to the horns of the brazen altar, the altar of incense, taken into the holy place or the holy of holies. Only the actual sin offering did that. But these other offerings that are extensions of the sin offering, or this trespass offering that has one law for it, the blood is never treated the way that the sin offering blood is. The blood of this trespass offering is not poured out at the base. It is not taken in. It is simply sprinkled round about upon the altar. You see this distinction. The sacrifices are different, but still it is an outflow of the one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I wanted to tell you, that whatever our need is, it has been met in the Lord Jesus Christ and more. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful that Thou hast promised us things that we never realized that were ours. Our Father, You have told us of our guilt in areas that we never knew that we were guilty of. And yet in all of these areas, Thy Son has come, and He has met our need. And now, this night, He has done more than meet our need. We thank Thee for the sufficiency and infinitely more that is to be found in the one sacrifice of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we may enter into it and understand it, that we shall be firm, that we shall be secure in knowing that we are upon an immovable foundation, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us understand, our Father, that You have foreseen all things that we could ever do, that could ever happen to us, and You have taken care of them in this one offering of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so thankful, Father, that what we do not know and what we do not realize that we need, You understand all of these things, and You provided a force in the person of Christ. And so let us cherish Him, and let us feed upon these things, and let us make them a part of our own lives and being. And let us rest secure, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.